Okay, so Rabbi say we're starting a new sugya in the second parak, parak Hoshah, Daf Lamed on the days. This is a sugya that, even though it's in Sachin, it could just as well be in Bamitsia and other Mesachdis. It relates to Inyanim of Shibud and Balichovos, collecting their chovos from Lover, from Yisomim, from Lukuchos. Very, very lumbish a sugya. And it really builds itself. There's a lot of aspects to it. And Mith Hashem will be able to learn it well and steig from it. It's an intricate sugya, and it's a yishmaka sugya, but it takes a little bit of effort, or a lot of effort, to really break through. And it's going to take a little time to get used to the concepts and the ideas. But I think you're ready for it, I hope, and I trust. So Mith Hashem, we should hopefully have atzlacha, be able to learn it well. The Mishnah is mentioned here on Daf Lamed Beis on the heels of a previous Mishnah, Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph, which you notice tells us the din of Chametz after Pesach. The Mishnah Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph teaches us Chametz over Olav Pesach. So the Mishnah distinguishes between Nachri and Yisrael. If it's a Chametz Sho Nachri, Sho Olav Pesach, it's Mutter Bahana. On the other hand, if it's Chametz Sho Yisrael, Sh'avol HaPesach, says the Mishnah, Asabana, the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, Lo Yirel Chasaor. So we all know from the sugya earlier, Daf Hei, we know that we're Mamayit from Lo Yirel Chasaor, that the Yiroah Shel Acherim, Shel Gavoa, that means that Chametz Sho Nachrim is not an Isser by Yiroah, if it's owned by a guy over Pesach. Now the Mishnah is discussing here Chametz Sho'avol HaPesach, if it was a Chametz Sho Nachri, then there's no Isser after Pesach. And the Mishnah has different discussions in the Gemara exactly how to interpret it, but the way that we're going to follow the Maskanas of Gemara is that the Mishnah follows Rav Shimon, that the Isser, Chametz of Pesach, is an Isser Drabban of a Knas. And the Knas was only made if the Jew violated by Rabbi Matzah. If there was a violation by Matzah, then we make a Knas that's Usser afterwards, Usser Banna. But if there's no Bayir Rabbi Matzah, then there's no Isser after Pesach. So now this Mishnah is going to try to get into some details as far as when Chametz, in specific types of cases, when we would define the Chametz as being Chametz Sho Yisrael, which would be Usser Banna after Pesach, where there was a Bayir, or Chametz Sho Nachri, which would not have the Isser after Pesach. And the cases in the Mishnah revolve around a Malva and a Lova. One was a Nachri and one was a Yisrael. And the underlying bottom line that emerges from the Mishnah is that when the Chametz is serving as collateral for collecting a Chov, that the Lova supplies his Chametz for the Malva to collect, should he not pay for the Chov at the time when it comes up, when it's due. The malveh is viewed, and obviously that's what happens, the lovah defaults and the malveh collects from the mashkin. The malveh is the one that's viewed as having title of this chametz all through, in other words, from the beginning. And therefore, based on that, if the malveh is a Yisrael, the chametz will be asher b'ana after Pesach, because the malveh owned this chametz over Pesach. On the other hand, if it was the other way around, the Malva was a Nachri, then we say that the Chametz is Mutter, because the Malva is the Nachri, and he's the one that owned the Chametz. Lashon HaMishnah is Nachri Shehuva Es Yisrael Al Chemtso. Again, Nachri Shehuva Es Yisrael Al Chemtso means that the Nachri was the Malva and Yisrael was the Lova, provide the Chametz as the collateral. Achar Pesach Mutter Bahana. After Pesach, because we view it as being Nenachri's Chametz, so it's Mutter Bahana. Yisrael Shehuva, because it's not subject to the Knas of Bayi Matzah. The Yisrael Shehuva as Nachri Al Chemtso. If the Yisrael was the Malva, and the Nachri was the Lova who supplies the Chametz for the Malva's collection for the Yisrael, then Achar Pesach Asher Bahana. So that's another way of telling me when it's considered to be Chametz Sho Yisrael, when it's Chametz Sho Nachri. Let's begin to look at Rashi. Nachri Shehuva is Yisrael Ma'os. Al Chemtso, Kodem HaPesach. Rashi stresses that the halva took place before Pesach. Now let's obviously explain why that is. Why does Rashi have to tell us the halva was before Pesach? No, because if the halva was on Pesach, then obviously there was a bayirah during that interim period from the time Pesach begins until the time of the halva, there's a bayirah. So of course it'd be asabana because of that bayirah that already existed once Pesach started. So obviously you have to assume that the halva took place before Pesach. And now Ba'avava Pesach, and now we have this din that if it's the Nachri who's the Malva, it's Mutter Bahana. Rashi is now going to give us more of a hesber why that should be. We're about to read the next Rashi, important Rashi. But just to, before we even read the reason, just to think about a simple question in Pshat, why does the Mishnah have to talk about this issue from the perspective of after Pesach? I mean, the root of the issue starts at who violates Bayira Bayimatse on his chametz? If there is a violation, I should say, if the Jew owns the chametz, it's a Bayira. If the guy owns the chametz on Pesach, it's no Bayira. So let the mission discuss the question in terms of if there's a there Bayimatse or not. If the Malve is the Jew, then he's over Bayira. If the Malve is an Achri, then the Jew isn't over Bayira. Why do you have to talk about where the chametz is about now and what about after Pesach? No, Ari, what's the simple answer? No. Yeah, okay, but to talk about whether there is a violation by us, it's not something that's worth noting. Is there a by us or no by us? Give me a simple answer. We'll give you a simple answer. So we haven't yet gone through all the hoops and Rashi, the details, but yeah, go ahead, Rafi. Is that the last issue I'm talking about? Okay, fine. Maybe that could be. I still think we could do better. Yeah.
Maybe it's like the Hamilton Arnuda that the going has some sort of shyness, so it's a that would kind of disrupt the body of my mind.
Okay. We don't yet know all the ins and outs of this idea that the chametz is seen as belonging to the malveh who has the rights to collect as from this chametz as a mashkin, right? Go ahead. The Hanuna is, I'm very intrigued by that connection that we saw that. It's very good that he made the connection, but we have to know where that goes. Clearly there's something in common here, but when is it? Yaakov, you want to say? Yeah.
Maybe it's like when like in a specific spot in the guy's house, so it's obviously it's not in his rishis anymore. I forgot.
Okay, so
similar situation to that.
Okay, so you know what? Instead of answering now, let's read another Rashi, and then you'll tell me all that you know the answer to this question. Okay, let's read the next Rashi. Mutar Bahana. Okay, this is the Nachri, the Malve. Yisrael Halove supplies the chametz as a mashkin, and after Pesach is mitavana ukamei the Gemara. Rashi is going to give us more details about why, in fact, we consider this chametz to be b'shus hamalve. In this case, the malve is the nachri, so it's mutar bahana because it's not a violation by Yira that occurred over Pesach. So exactly why is this true? Ukamei the Gemara mukila kishehino etzlo veveisa. That the Lovet deposited the chametz, which is the mashkin, in the house of the Malve, in this case, the Malve the Nachri. The Shoah Eitzo HaNachri, Ko Yemos HaPesach. Rashi gives us an interesting Ukimta that he quotes from the Gemara. We'll have to see more about this in the Gemara and whether it actually totally lines up with the Gemara. It's not simple. But this Rashi does quote from the Gemara that the Ukimta, the Mishnah, is Hirhino Etzlo. Hirhino means that he, the Lova, deposited it physically, the Shus HaMalva, and it's situated, the Shoah Eitzo HaNachri Koimos HaPesach. That's where the Chametz finds itself over Pesach in the Shus of the Nachri, the Malva. Now we can explain why the Mishnah says the Chametz is Mutar Bahana. Given what we just explained about the fact that the chametz was in the Rishus HaNachri physically during Pesach. Continues Rashi, the cave on Dimata Zimne, the Lopare, since the time of the loan, when it came due, the due date came, and the Lova did not pay, the Lova in this case, the Israel, did not pay for the debt at that point in time, Umechusur Guvayna, not Milohavi, and this loan is not lacking any formal collection because Shari Etzlo Nasun, it's already there by the Malvet for him for the taking. He doesn't need to go to Beis Din with the Loba and then officially collect from him. It's already as good as collected. It's not Mechusur Guvayna, it's not lacking the actual collection. So now we can say that it has retroactively is now been indicated the mishasher hino at slow havi dide. The time that it was deposited, from that moment on, it was already the malvus. So Rashi is giving us a whole explanation which underlies the premise of the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah view this as chametz b'shus ha-malva? If the malvus denachri, it's mutabana, because it's viewed as if it was the malvus chametz over Pesach, the goyis chametz over Pesach, and the other case, the stomach will follow the same logic. Yisrael, who's the Malva, so it's viewed as Chametz, so Yisrael over Pesach. Because of the situation having been that the Chametz was physically in the possession of the Malva, and once the time comes and he didn't pay, it's not Mechusser Guvan, it doesn't lack having to be collected. It's already there. Therefore, it's considered as if it was already his from the beginning. Let's just do one more Rashi as far as the second case. Yisrael Shovas Yisnachri. Nami, here's Yisrael HaMalva. Came in the Hirhino Etzlo. Again, the Hirhino, it was put in the possession of the Malva Yisrael. Umatazimni Vulopare. The time came, he didn't pay. Now he shaited the Osfei from the time that he lent him, Kamli Rishus. And again, with the same Stam Alumnus of Mechusa Gabbana Lahavi, it's therefore Igoy Milsa and so. So Rashi is giving us a whole window into the premise of the Mishnah of why it's viewed as Chametz Shel HaMalva because of this Ukimta Vurhino, Tamachus Guvaina, and therefore Igloi Milsa L'Mafreya, that it was really his all along. When does that Igloi, what makes that Igloi Milsa Mafreya? What triggers Igloi Milsa Mafreya? What fact?
Lopar.
What is in Lopar? We haven't yet explained what Rashi's saying. We'll have to come back and see more in the details. But if I return to my question I asked you before, everyone should now have a simple answer to the question. Why does the Mishnah focus on the question of the Chametz after Pesach if that is a derivative of whether it was Bal Yirah during Pesach? And therefore, why not just discuss, during Pesach, is there Bal Yirah? Forget about the Chametz after Pesach. Does the Jew violate Bal Yirah by Matzah and Pesach? And the answer is depending on who the Malva is. If the Jew's a Malva, yes. If the Tzigoy is a Malva, then no. It's not as simple as that. Why? Because if it's during Pesach, go ahead, Aryeh.
Is there an issue with being over on Afreya?
No, not that.
Because you learn more if you talk about after Pesach, because then you have to include it.
It's not just that you learn more, but during Pesach, what is not yet known to us? Could you issue a verdict during Pesach and say that the Jew is not buying by your right by Matzah? When will the Jew not buy by your Matzah? If what turns out? If he doesn't pay, then we have the Goy Milsam affair that the Mashkin, the Chametz, was really the Goy's. And Memela, it turns out he didn't. But you can't say that now during Pesach. You don't know whether he'll pay or not. So it's only going to be, we'll only be able to know that it's Chametz Shonachri Hamalveh. If Matazim Nibulapare, if the time comes he doesn't pay, that's when we say that it was good as collected, and therefore the Chametz was owned by the Malva Nachmi, therefore there's no Isra after Pesach, I understand. But you couldn't freeze the frame of during Pesach and already issue a psak and tell me that Chametz shall Nachmi Shilbas Yisrael Alchem, so during Pesach the Jew is not the Jew might very well violate by Yerai Matzah. It's only if it turns out that he defaults on the loan. And that means that the non-Jew has the mashkin to collect from, and it's viewed as if he already collected it. Rashi gives you a little bit of the husband, the herhino, whatever that has to do with, whatever that means. But the bottom line is the mechanism for why it's chametz shel malva is because of the matazim v'lo pare. But we don't know if that's going to be it during Pesach. It's only going to be clear when we get to that point. So the Mishnah anyway has to speak from the vantage point of after Pesach. So the Mishnah discusses the practical nafkamina, as was mentioned before, whether there is an issa now or not. But you couldn't say, well, are you violating Matzah Pesach? I can't tell you that right now. It's not clear that the Jew doesn't violate in the Reisha by Yerah. He might very well be violated by Yerah, I must say. It all depends on what happens later. Well, that's a simple explanation why the Mishnah focuses on after Pesach. But the actual lumbus of Rashi itself is obviously quite provocative. Exactly what does all this mean? Right? What does all this mean? What is Rashi pulling at us from the Gemara here? Hino etzlo, and you know, and therefore matazimba pare, mchusukuvaina lohavi, goin musvashreya. There are a lot of words here to digest in Rashi. Yes.
So this is
where what this is what I'm asking right now. What Rashi's it's not totally about the Rav. No. In other words, whatever you're gonna say, I don't know about it on the Rav yet, but I do know one thing, that it's considered Chametz Shah Malveh only if the Rav defaults. However you get to that point, through Abaye, through Rava, through Hirhino, through something else, Me'afshav, this is what we have to fill in the blank. But in terms of the question I asked you in Pshat, the answer is simple. Before I know all of that, I can also tell you that should the Jew pay the non-Jew the Malveh, the Chov, then the fact that the Mashkin was potentially collectible is irrelevant. The Jew violated by him, let's say. It's only because, and this is what's going to come out in the sugya very clearly, that this mechanism, whatever it might be, it's called a mafehu gova right now without knowing what that means, but it's only, when is a mafehu gova, that it's his from before, if he in fact follows up and collects. If lemaisa, there was a debt that was paid, then you can't tell me that it belonged to the malva. That which he had a shibud on doesn't belong to the malva unless the shibud is actualized. That's the premise that we're going to see throughout the sugya. This, whatever it is that makes this thing shalom malveh, is only true if indeed the malveh ends up collecting it at the end of the day, at the end of whatever the due date is. But if in fact the lover pays the chov at the time that it's due, then all bets are off. He never owned it from Ulma Freya. And therefore, the whole principle of the Mishnah is all going to have to do with the case, as Rashi says, Matzim Nivlo Pare. And therefore, we have to talk about after Pesach. Yeah, Yaakov.
Does the Mishnah determine if he violated
the Pesach? Yeah, okay. Yeah, but that already, the Kasha is not, it takes the sting off the Kasha already. Then already Ari can say what he said. So you might as well just tell me the din already. But I was asking, like, what do you have to talk about after Pesach? Just talk about during Pesach. Yeah, in the Chanami, it's obviously what it's telling you about, Danny. Yeah.
So that, we were saying that you have to talk about after because we don't know, but why couldn't the Mitzvah just have been, the Mishnah is saying, meaning why couldn't the Mitzvah just discuss the case where I lent the money before Pesach, and then the due date of payment is not after Pesach, it's on Pesach, and then you could talk about the Beish Fire by Matzah. There's no reason to jump
to that. It's a good high. What if the due was during Pesach? Yeah, and he didn't pay, and he collected from it. So then you're saying, so then if the Jew, what? So then what would be, if he collected on Pesach, the Nachri was collecting it for the debt, then what?
There's no Dien Bavig Lai.
Yeah.
And then the Gemara is totally different. So
No. So it's going, no, if the guy collected it on Pesach, so then what? So if it was, and he'd collected it, then it's his, and there's no Bayirah.
Right.
Okay, so again, So the Jews have Bayra. Now, in a case like that, he could have talked about the Jews having Bayra and not having Bayra. Okay. Yeah.
Well, then you'd be telling that the Jew is literally going and buying that coming on Pesach. Like, but Lahab is going
and the Jew, if the Jew ends the non-Jew, and then he collected it, then he's mamish. Yeah, right now, he's, by taking it right now, it means that the entire time it was his. Yeah, okay. So Mishnah tells that after Pesach already. But okay. I hear. Now, the truth is, this Rashi is difficult. Now, we don't know why it's difficult yet, but I'll have to give you a little bit, just without too much information, TMI, but just because we have to come back at the end of the whole sugya we'll get toward the end of the sugya, we have to revisit this Rashi. Because true Rashi says, the Gemara Mukilei Rina, let's give a little bit of background. We haven't yet read the words of the Gemara. We're soon going to read the words of the Gemara in a few minutes. The Gemara is going to be open with a machok the Baiva Rava about Shibud, when the Malva has a lien on the assets of a Lova. Now, the classic example is going to be with Karka, and then we're going to apply it to the Mishnah eventually, where you also Meshabed the Chametz, even though it's Metalkin, but you made a Shibud. You can collect for this as a Mashkin, so it becomes the same. But the question is, when the Malva collects subsequently, do we say that it was always his from the beginning because he had a right to collect it, and therefore Abaye can hold the Mafer who go over? It's really his. Retroactively, we understand it was always his, and Rava doesn't agree. We're going to discuss that in just a minute when they argue what they do agree to, what they don't agree to. And then there's going to be a little discussion of that inyan, and then we're going to come to our Mishnah and say, wait a second. Our Mishnah, first glance, squares perfectly with who? With who? Abaye. Because the Mishnah is assuming that when the Malva collects, when the Lova defaults, so it's really viewed as it was his all along. And that's why the Chametz is either the Nachri is in the case of the Reisha, or the Yisrael is the case of the Seif. Second. So the Gemara has to defend Rava from the way it sounds in the Mishnah. So right away, when you know Rashi quoting the Gemara, that the case is Hirhino, it's not the Gemara to explain for Abaye. It's to explain for Rava. And Halacha is Karava. So Rashi agrees with Ukimta. Quite by the Mishnah doesn't need to say Hirhino. Again, I'm just giving you simple information from the Gemara. But Abaye, the Mishnah reads perfectly. That's what the Gemara says. And again, if you look in, further down on the Gemara says, Ian, look in Amid Aleph, Amid Aleph, Amid Aleph, the 10 lines from the bottom. It's none. Nachri she'uvas Yisrael al-chan. So, Acha Pesach Mutabana, right? The first part of Mishnah. Iyam ibishulam malum afeyahu golve, am tu lahachi mutar bahana. Abaye, slam dunk. The Mishnah is beautiful. Ella, Iyam it mekanel habo golve, amai mutar bahana. Everyone see the lines I'm reading? It's about 6 or 7 lines from the bottom. After all, amai mutar bahana, bishus of the Yisrael habikoi. Answered the Gemara, hacha mayaskinan, kishtahirhino etzlo. So those words of the Gemara, that's Rashi's quote, Hirhino Etzlo. Right? So Rashi obviously plucked this from the Gemara, and it's the Gemara's who came to according to Rav. Now, so what's the problem in Rashi? So here's the problem. If you look, if you continue to learn the Gemara, even Bikias, and just to read it on, you're going to see that the Gemara has, within the Teretz of Hirhino, the Gemara actually has two ways to explain why, when you have Hirhino that he deposited the mashkin by the Malveh, it's viewed as the mashkin that it belonged to him all along. But neither of those two approaches are mentioned in Rashi. And what's mentioned in Rashi is not really mentioned in the Gemara. What did Rashi say? Rashi says, well, it's Hirhino. And it's not Mechusa Gavan, it's already by him. He doesn't have to actually collect it from the other. Therefore, it's as if it's his. That's what Rashi's words. Igwai Milsa. Those are the words we just read in Rashi. If you look in the Gemara says one of two things. We're going to come back to the Rashi after we read the Gemara. But the Gemara says either that when you have Hirhino, then the idea is we have a rule called Balchov Kone Mashkin. There's a certain liability that already exists when the Malveh has a Mashkin by him of the Loveh, that he has certain responsibilities. We have to see what level that Kona Mashkin is going to be as far as which chiyuvim are incurred, chiyuvim of what types of occurrences, but Balchov Kona Mashkin is a certain sense in which the Mashkin is already viewed as in Birshus of the Malva. And that could be one way to explain the Mishnah within Rava, that Hirhino, and then we have what kicks in is the rule called Balchov Kona Mashkin. We don't know what these things mean yet. Don't worry about it. We have plenty of time. Balchov Kona Mashkin. But the Gemara is not happy with that because that is far from simple that you can apply that rule when one of the parties is a Nachri. In other words, one could argue that Yisrael and Yisrael, Balchov Kona Mashkin. But, for example, Yisrael ben Nachri, if the Mashkin is an Achri's, maybe there's no Kinyan Mashkin on the Nachri's Mashkin, or vice versa, the Nachri is a Malver, the Baal Chof HaNachri is not calling the Mashkin of Yisrael, so maybe that's not going to work. So because of that, and that's, and this is a Shaka Vatari in the Gemara. The Gemara has another suggestion within the world of Hirhino, and that is that the Lover who was depositing the Mashkin by the Malver, Hirhino, he said, Me'achshav. This is, you'll see on Amud Beis, a little before the Mishnah. Had the Amale Me'achshav. If you look just on Amud Beis, about 10 lines or 12 lines from the top, you'll see Mihi Nami Derino Epsilo, a little bit after the Bach's Aleph, okay? Mihi Nami Derino Epsilo, Amit Nachum Yisrael Lokani. Nachum doesn't get a Kinyamashkin Yisrael. Must be Lokasha. Had the Amale Me'achshav, Had the Amale Me'achshav. The Mishnah can say that it belongs to the Malveh, Hanachri, even though Baal Chov, who is a Nachri, is not called a Mashkin Shei Yisrael, because it was Hirhino, and he said, as Rashi explains, in lo eten lecha ad yom ploni, I mean the Rashi lo kasha, yehei shalach me'achsha. Therefore, since the Lover said at the time that he deposited it, he ki'ilu made a tnai, he said, if I don't pay by that due date, this is yours from now. Therefore, as Rashi goes on, Hilkach Nachri Mitzvah Yisrael, Kamui Chametz Bishus Nachri, Yisrael Shabbos and Nachri, Kamui Bishus Yisrael. And then that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. So what's striking in this Rashi is the omissions of Rashi. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Ukimta of Hirhino. But Rashi doesn't say anything to the effect of Baal Chov Kone Maskin. Nor does Rashi mention that important detail that the Gemara adds, that it's only true when the Lova says at the time of the Hirhino, Me'achshav, which are critical factors here. Instead, Rashi says Hirhino and then goes off in his own way, so to speak, with this idea, it's not Mechusi Gubayin. And that's the thing, that's the Achronim all over this Rashi. Again, we're not in a position to answer, we haven't read the Gemara. But just to be aware that after we read the Gemara with the Hirhino, we have to go back and understand what is Rashi saying here. He's not really lining up perfectly with the Gemara. He's quoting the Gemara. Again, it's an Ukimta for Rava. Abaye has an easier time with the Mishnah, but Rashi doesn't quote the whole picture. Because that's a Ha'ara that has to be revisited in Rashi. Noach had a question from before.
Just based on what Rashi was saying before this point, do we not have any issue with having Safek Chametz?
No one is saying he's a tzaddik here, this Jew, that might be by much say.
No, but
no one is, so we're just giving you the halach.
In terms of the din of mutter after pizza.
Okay, well, Maisa, if he knows what's good for him, he won't pay the debt. So therefore, the chametz will be owned by the non-Jew. Someone were to ask, give him advice. They would say, Rabbi Yid, don't pay this debt, otherwise you have a bayirah on your head. Okay, that could be.
Is there anything to do with the fact that during Pesach itself, though, when the man is Pesach, it's chal or like all this chametz, it's something that it could be in Jewish tradition. So
what do you want the problem to be? I mean, if there's something you can do about it, then you should do whatever it takes. And you shouldn't violate bayirah, must say. But short of that, it is what it is.
No, I don't mean else by your Abba Mata. I mean else the fact that it should be Mutter Achaba and not after Pesach.
No. If it's Chametz Shel Yisrael, that's the rule. It's Asabana, it's Chametz Shel Nachri, it's Mutter Bana. So the Mishnah is just trying to be Kodeya when it's considered Chametz Shel Nachri, when it's Chametz Shel Yisrael.
Well, we know that after Pesach. We're not going to know that.
Okay. Fine. Okay, ready for the Gemara? Yeah. So this is the Rishonim, and the first paragraph of Daf Hey raises. So if you take a look again at the Rush there, they, in the context of that sugya Daf Hey that we learned, they bring in this Gemara with the Hirhino in the situation. Now you have to know how it squares complete with the Kabbalah Sachrayis, right? If it's Kabbalah Sachrayis, then it's Kibbuchon Dami. So if the case would not be deposited the Chametz by Yisrael, yeah, you have to work out some details. We could take another look. We can maybe refer to that at some point, but that's not. It doesn't get mentioned in the sugya here per se, but it's mentioned by the Rishonim in Daf Hey. They do reference this Gemara, so it's kedai taka to take a look at it. Yeah, Zakta Gemara Itmar. Now we're introduced to a shas sugya, a shas inyan, that's going to have bearing on our Mishnah, as we just noted, how the Gemara is going to ultimately come to our Mishnah and say, Bishlam al Abaya Nicha, according to Rabbah, what do we do with the Mishnah? And the Gemara is going to work out her Hino and all the details that flow from that. But meanwhile, we're talking about a larger inyan that transcends the specific case of our Mishnah, which is a machlokas of Ivar Rava in general about the following. Itmar, Baal Chov, Abaye Omar Lemafreya Hugova, Rava Omar Mikano Lahaba Hugova. So Abaye and Rava weigh in on the situation of a Baal Chov, who is a creditor over a Lova, who has a right to collect the lands, the real estate. We're talking about karka here. That's where you talk about shiba. The shiba notion of shiba is generally associated with karka. The karka of the lova is mishubad. It's mortgaged. There's a lien on it for the malva to collect should the lova not pay the chov. And now the question is, does that mean that the collection can be viewed as if it was always the malves from the time of the halva, that's Abaye, the mafeh ugova, or is it only from the point of he collects and on? Rashi says, Balchov, ha-malve eschavero, the shibed lo nechasa. Rashi gives us a little more information about the case, that the lova is mishabed his nechasim, he designates these assets to be collectible for the debt. That's called shibud. Namely, imlo efra l'cha ad yom ploni, if I don't pay you by that date, givei min nechsa, you can collect from my assets. The gezman, the time came to lo para, and he didn't pay. And obviously, now he's going to, the Baal is going to collect from these assets. So Abaye Amal Mafeh who go back the Yaso Shigava Akshav, this he's collecting now. Igloi Milsa. It's now we can say that all this indicates the fact that he's cashed in on the Shibud and it's come to fruition, it's been actualized. Igloi Milsa, and now it's become clear. The Mishashel Vau Amdu Nachasav Halobah has kasa. And from the time of the loan, these assets were stationed in the chazaka, in the status, in the bailus of the malva. Very novel, seemingly novel idea. I mean, there was a halva, and later on, the lova who defaulted meant that, based on the understanding, that the malva can collect his chol from the chasim. And Abaye comes and says, it's igroi milsa that was already in his bailus, the chazkaso, from the time of the halva. The Rabba Omer Einan Becheskoso Elam Mikano Lahaba. Well, Kami Meforesh the Maimaf Kamina must now proceed to explain the Maimaf Kamina. So, a couple of things to think about. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about where they all agree. As the Gemara is now going to proceed to say that all agree in terms of the Lova's inability to be able to transfer the property that the Malva will still be able to collect the Shibud from Hegdish or from Egokeach, that's not part of the Machokas. Machokas is going to end up being whether the Malve has the ability in the interim to effect a transfer through Mecher, through Mechira, through Hegdish, that Abaye would allow it because he had the ability, since it's considered to be, in fact, he does collect later, it's viewed as if it was always his. And the Gemara, therefore, just reiterates what they're saying with a few more words. If you just go ahead to the Lamed Aleph, after the Gemara gives us what the case is that they'll argue, the Gemara just echoes the Shitas with a little more detail. It says the Gemara, keep pligi, if you look in the second line on Daf Lamed Aleph, keep pligi devin malva kadesh malva, that the malva tried to create a hegdish or a smachira in the interim, and then ultimately comes to collect. So Abaye Omar, l'mafeya hu gove, keva de mata zimne v'lo pare, the time came and he didn't pay, and now he's collecting. Igroi milso mafreya, so now it becomes clear retroactively, the meikar b'shusi avikai, that it was considered to be in his reshus from the beginning, and therefore the case that we just gave is shabbe agdish, the shabbe zavet. And he had a right, therefore, to effect a hegdish or mechira because it was his from then. The Rava Amar, now here we have Rava. What's Rava's counter argument to that? Why? Remember, the Lova had an option of paying, not defaulting. It's not clear that it's going to lead to a Shibud being actualized, there's a potential for that to happen. There's a schus, but the schus is defined by the lova as defaulting. The lova had the option. Ishtakach dasikakon. You right away read the words, you recognize we're in very lumbish territory here, right? No doubt about it. Abaye v'rava, mafeil gova, kanabu gova. Abaye says, look, he didn't pay. So really, it was always b'cheskas, so he could have been magdashed in the interim and it's chal. And Rava says, no, but the lova had the ability to be misal b'zuzi, so therefore it's only later that he's. So, Noach,
I was just wondering, why is it using the lashon of Yerushisa? I wouldn't give you Shalom.
So here, when it says in the Gemara, what do you see in the word Yerushisa in the Gemara? Yerushisa Evakoi. The Gemara's Yerushisa is probably not the same as Rashi's Yerushisa. The Gemara Yerushisa could mean, I would grant you, I think it probably does mean Shalom. I think you're right. But we had this a little bit on Daf Hey, if you remember, with the Rashi, with the Chametz and the Bishusa, right? When we started reading the words of the Gemara with the Rashi, so a couple of things that have to be thought about. Rashi, first of all, defines for us the case of Balchov, of Shibud. Rashi uses the language Shibud lo nechasa. So just to think about that for a second, we don't know yet much about Shibud, but does Shibud actually require that the Lova explicitly declare as such, my nechasim are hereby mortgaged for your potential collection, should I default? Is that usually the case? Or is it automatic? When there's a halva, and we have to talk, we don't really know much about the halva. Is it bishtar, is it alpeh? But we know that in order for the malva to collect from the Shubadim, from land of the Lova, it's a Milver Bishtar, right? So Rashi doesn't mention much about that, but Rashi says, Shiba lo nechasa. Certainly if it's going to go to Lukuchos, he needs a Bishtar, right? But typically, this is what the Pnei Yeshua points out. There's a rule in the Gemara called Achrayis Tol Sofer, that it's Achrayis means that there's a basis to collect from lands. They are meshubed, they're mortgaged, even if it's not stated, it's already assumed. So therefore, that's tamadiyuk and Rashi that we should notice. What does Rashi stress? Shibed lo nechasav. Seemingly, even if it wasn't explicitly stated, it should be implicit, and it should be the same thing. So that's interesting. Pnei Yeshua goes into a whole inyan of shibud daraisa, shibud rabban. We're not going to go there now, but umaisa, Rashi does stress shibed lo nechasav. Maybe Rashi just wants us to understand that that's what's going on here. That this is by default, that's what it is. But Rashi just tells you, stresses it. The chasim amishubah. Maybe Rashi doesn't mean more than that, but Pnei Yeshua had a diuk in Rashi. Another thing to think about. If I had to ask you, which of these shitas sounds to you more compelling, more intuitive? What would you say? Rav. Everyone would say Rav. But when you read the Gemara, just as we just read, just reading the way Gemara presents it, the Gemara puts them very much on equal footing. If anything, maybe like Rava has to say more to explain himself, like to deflect Abaye's argument. Abaye seems to have an edge. Abaye says, look, plain and simple. You know, he didn't pay, so goy mosa. So not so fast, because Rava had an option to misal the Zuzay. Therefore, it's only me kind of have. So that's interesting. Like we would have naturally assumed that what kind of halacha is this? That Abaye says mafeya, and that yet we see in the Gemara that no, Abaye sounds like quite compelling, except Rava has a counter argument. It's also striking. But what makes it even more interesting is, and what the Sfasemis really struggles with, is typically if you don't own something, and then you own it, how does that happen? There's a kinyan that affects a transfer. You make a ma'aser kinyan. When you talk about shibud, that Abaye allows us to be a mafreya, then by virtue of what mechanism, halachically, did the malve get to own this? I mean, he only actually takes it from the karka from the time that he takes it, and yet Abaye says it was considered to be his. He owned it, that he could be magdish it from the time of the halva. But what made it his in the time of the halva? What kinyan? What took place here was money was transferred from the malva to the lova. Lo and behold, the lova didn't pay. And we say that the malva who collects later had it all along. But what made it his before? Fasemis wonders about this. Right? So what is he tries to play with possibilities? We know from the Kiddushin that the karka, so karka is nicknamed the kesef. So we could think in terms of the kesef of the halva being viewed as kesef kinyan. It's a halva if you pay it, but if you don't pay it, then the kesef that I gave you is like an acquisition for the karka. Now, that works if we're talking about karka, which is what we're discussing probably right now. But if you remember, the Gemara is going to bring it back to the Mishnah where you made the metaltalin formally meshubed for the chol. In the Shabbat is a maskin, this is a chametz to collect from. And that also, the Gemara says, according to Abaye, the Mishnah is perfect. Meaning that it's considered to be that the chametz was b'shus ha-malveh from the beginning, be it the lover, be it the nachri of the Israel. How is he konet? Here, it's not as simple, because metaltalin is or isn't acquired with kesef. What do you know about this? Go ahead. What do you know, shaking your head? What do you say? Not. So the question is, why is it not? Midiraisa, midirabana. So it's a machokis, liyofa mishlokish, in Perek Hazav and Bamitsia. We know that you need meshicha, not kesef. But the question is, why? So Yochanan holds, Dvar Torah, Mos Konus. Midiraisa, we know kesef is konet by karka. That's the Mishnah Kedushin. But Metaltalin, midiraisa also, kesef is konet. Midirabana, they said not. And the reason they said not is because what could happen is if the merchandise is in the attic of the mocher and it's kesef that was given to the mocher and a fire breaks out in the attic, the mocher is far from motivated to save the merchandise, which is now owned already by the lukeach, and he'll say, okay, it was your loss. And therefore, the chum require meshicha in order for the lukeach to be koned. That's midrabanan. But midiraisa, kesef is koned by metaltalin. If Shlokish disagrees, says even midiraisa, the method is meshich. So the Fasemis tries to maybe play with this issue and say, look, we want to know how could you have the concept of mafer gova by metaltalin if in fact it was a shibud that was explicitly stated by the lova for metaltalin, like in the Mishnah's case, and what would be the method that the malva is koned? So if you hold that kesef is koned midiraisa. And yet only semi drabbana. Then already we have maybe some to work with it. Maybe there are exceptional cases where the drabbana would not apply. And we can discuss those cases. Halacha l'maisa mafeu gover, where the drabbana would not take away the kinyan d'oraisa. And this is more or less where he tries to go with this. Very hard to swallow, right? Obviously, it would be more appealing if we could just try to answer the kasha more head on without trying to find some. So I don't know if we can fully answer this question now, but at least the beginning of a machshava here, and just kind of leave a question sort of out there, is that maybe you don't have to find a form of ma'aseh kinyan. Because the whole world of shibud is its own institution. Okay, we have to discuss where it originates. Shibud d'oraisa, shibud d'rabbanan. But the idea that there's a potential for the malva to collect assets of the lover. Where does it come from? Why does he have right to collect the lover? He lent him money. And if the lover doesn't pay money, suddenly we have this idea that the malva can collect. But wherever that comes from, let's even say Shibud Daraisa. So that is the source for why the malva can acquire, according to Abaye, even the mafreya. The whole idea of Shibud is its own novel concept. So whatever the concept gives you is what it gives you. It tells you that he can collect, and it also tells you that it's his from the time of the halva itself. Like maybe the question doesn't have to be answered through the traditional route, conventional route of trying to find a ma'aseh kinyan. We just could suggest that Shibud is its own entity, its own concept, which means that you have a right to collect it, and says Abaye, and that collection, gufa, entitles it, gives it to you. The schus of Shibud carries within it that it awards it to you, Mishar Rishon. We all understand there's a schus called Shiva. Schus, Shiva, a right to collect from that which is Mishuvah. We understand that. So I'll just take it one step further. That schus, as Abaya, whatever that schus is, includes that the right that you have to collect it, if it does come to that point, so it really was yours from then. I'm not saying it's a full answer, but it's at least the beginning of a machshav within the question of the sfasemis. One more nekuda, then we'll take Mamish Barak Noam and anyone else. Just another thing to think of, just around the sugya, on the periphery right now, just to think about. When Abaye says, "Umafehu Golver," so he's saying it on a shibud, right? Karka is meshubud right now. The Taltulin, if you would hereby make it meshubud, you would say, it's a mashkin. But the truth is that anytime you lend money to somebody, he doesn't have money to pay, but he has assets. What's the halacha? You can collect from anything. Expression that the Gemara uses, minei, afilu mi, glima dal kaste, even when the shirt on his back, on his shoulder. Anything that the lover has, the malva can go and collect. Now, what Abaye say, l'mafehu gove, insofar as something like that is concerned, if the malva ends up having to go to take something from the lover's house because he wants to be paid his debt, would you say that that would be l'mafreya? No. It's only within the world of shibud. Or even if I could ask you in a theoretical vein, the lover pays up the chov. Would anyone suggest, I can't tell you nafkamina, but just the idea, conceptually, that when the lover pays the money, so it's as if the malva had that money from the beginning? Absolutely not. That's absurd. So obviously there's something unique. This is why I'm just trying to to reinforce what I just said a minute ago. There's something unique about what we call shibud. And what exactly distinguishes between, for example, metaltalin, that Abaye wouldn't say under normal circumstances, unless the metaltalin becomes a shibud, and karka? So there really are at least two ways to go here. Let me first start with what Rashi's mashman b'metzia. Rashi, we'll get to this Rashi eventually inside. Rashi says that what's the mechanism of shibud? A little bit more about understanding it. Can you give me an analogy in Hilchus Malva Velove about what you can compare taking from one's assets to? Something similar. Well, you're not collecting from the Lova directly, but you're collecting your chol from some other party. What does that remind you of? Where you're not, the Lova's not paying, but you're going to another address. Arev, a cosigner. So an Arev is its own, at the end of Bamitzvah, Basru, Sugis of Arev. An Arev is Machayev himself to pay on behalf of the Lova, should the Lova default. So Rashi Bamitzvah tells us that a person's Nechasim serve that role of an Arev. The person's Nechasim, it's an address, it's a place to go to collect the Chov, should the Lova not pay. So you can go to the Arev, just like you can go to the Arev to pay the Chov if the Lova doesn't pay. So you can go to the Nechas. So that halacha is where Abaye states his Yisod Kol Mafehu Gove. When you're collecting from Nechasim, which are Meshubed. Now, you could have a case of Metaltin that you're Meshabed also, but in a normal situation where you happen to take the metaltalin because the lover doesn't have any money and you can go, Rashi says, to his house and say, pay up. So give me your shirt, give me whatever. But that's not the concept of an orev. That's a different idea. You're paying, you're getting the lover to pay the chov, not money, so with shavu kesef, whatever he has, he's responsible to pay. But that's not a revus. That's not the concept of shibud nechasim. So Abaye's yisod, the chor is limited to the world of shibud. That's one way to understand the difference between the same metaltalin in a normal case that wouldn't be meshubit and karka. There's another way that other Rishonim go with, which is not for now, but maybe a different way to think about why metalton wouldn't have, and they're going to see this in the later part of the sugya as well. So basically, this is kind of laying the groundwork for what we're about to see in the next line of Gemara, but just to discuss the idea of Shibud, we see how Rashi says it, Shibud lo nechasav, Abai v'Rabba, one more Nakud, and then we'll take Bar Kanam's question, and we could just try to, you know, leave it with that, is that, you know, the truth is that if you start looking at the Shonim I gave you, the Rabbi Mam Chalava and the Iri, there are discussions in the Rishonim about the particular type of Shibud that Abai is talking about. What we've done right now is pointed out, Abai is Yisod, which again doesn't sound so, from the Gemara, as so earth-shattering, right? Abai says it, Rabbi says a different argument. They both have legitimate points. But we're pointing out it's only within the world of Shibud. Right? Shibud is a schus, for Abaye that gives it to you from the first moment, from the time of the Hava. But there are different levels of Shibud. And this is another word that we should become part of our lexicon. Apotiki. Who knows the word apotiki? Who's heard the word apotiki? What does it mean, Larry?
It
could be a shore, it could be an eved, it could be whatever it might be. When you, it could be land. Apotiki means it's like earmark, targeted for collection. It's a certain certain category of Shibud. In other words, I say, not even like general, this thing, it's so it obviously gives priority for the malva to collect from that. Notice he could have a lot of nechas in this lova, but at the time of the alva, if he marks something, this particular land or this particular animal for the malva's collection, that obviously puts a higher premium on that being mortgaged. There is a situation of a potiki mefurash or a potiki stam. The difference being, if you say a potiki mefurash means this and only this, which means that there is no shibud on anything but that, and he's got to go there and nowhere else. It's like he releases the shibud from any other place, or this means that this is the first place. His first crack is over here. So there are rishonim that entertain the possibility that maybe Abaye's yisod and his sheet of mafirgo is limited to a case of a potiki, of karka. And then they push back and say, no, it could be even by regular situations of Shibud as well. So all that is discussed in Rishonim. We're not going to go necessarily into that as much right now because I want to be able to get a feel for the sugi itself. But just to be aware that it's not 100% muskum in the Rishonim exactly whether Abaye says this all the time, only certain types of Shibudim. But meanwhile, we have Abai, we have Rava, we have Svaras, Lukana. Well, up to the point of the Gemara, we're going to say, so where do they disagree and where do they agree? And what's coming is, the first line of the Gemara is after stating the Machokas, they both agree regarding the Lovas not being able to be Mocher and be Magdish, where the Malva can certainly collect. That is not a subject to the Machokas. Even Rava agrees to that. But Machokas is going to be, as we said, if the Malva is Magdish, if that would be Chal or not. Baruch Noah, I'm waiting so patiently. I appreciate the patience, yeah.
Any relation to, I forgot exactly what the words are in the Gemara, but the concept that when you owe something, when you're ready, you're waiting to be paid back, it's Gila, you're paid back already.
That's of Shimon's Shita. I think it's of Shimon. But I don't know that it doesn't seem anywhere to be, to my knowledge, to be linked to that Tana. Abai is not Dafka talking from some Tanoim. I mean, there's obviously a loose association, but I don't see it very much.
Didn't we also just say now that the Mishnah we're going to see is going like a Shimon?
Yeah, but even so, but to say that, who says we hold that way? In terms of the public votes, I think I don't even know. I'm not positive that it thinks of Shin. Maybe it's the mayor. I'm not willing to say, but I don't see that should be the kuda here.
We'll have to see.
You know, what is it exactly?
Why is it that it's yours?
So that's exactly what we have to try to discover as the city runs it. But yeah,
it sounds like it's yours.
Yeah, so that's exactly sounds odd at first, right? It's yours because it's going to be yours.
Which is the same, it's very similar to the other din.
But that din has to do with other types of inyanim, so it's not like necessarily it's, you know. Okay, yeah, all right.
It's part related to the fact that was the guy ever intending to give money back, or was he always planning on defaulting on the collateral?
I mean, it could be either. You know what? It doesn't say left after one or the other. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Maybe since it's there and out of, could it be an active essentially for the loan there if he doesn't, whether or not the money's like it's always with the hand of the mob all the time, from the cottage and the hectage in the middle of his mom, and then pays it back. Does he have to win the cottage or is it already considered
there? Again, with Kesef, it doesn't matter, as he said. Kesef is never from the first time. He pays back with money. What are you saying?
If he gives his nechnasin, borrowed money, and the kaddish is whatever it was.
With the nechassin?
Yeah.
The whole sham, the kaddish b'karka. Man began kedushin. Can you give that as kesef for kedushin? Karka. You were saying, assuming yes, you say. So the Gemara says, hegdish, you're saying, what about kedushin?
No.
Oh, the loba, the malva, who? Who's the kaddish with the karka? Again.
No, so then we said that the loba tries to makdish, when he gave to the malva,
yeah,
it's not considered hegdish.
That's going to everybody. That's what the Gemara is about to say here. That everyone agrees that the Malva can take it and seize it, and it's not Tali and Machokza by the road. That's the line of what we're going to start tomorrow, Mr. Shem, right? The Kuya Malo Pligi. That's going to work. We're going to work tomorrow just in terms of looking at Makoros. I would like to look at this first. There's two halves to the Gemara, right? One is the case of Zabin Lobe, the Kaddish Lobe, that everyone agrees to. And then there's Zabin Malva, Kaddish Malva. That's the place of the argument. So in the first case that the Gemara says all agree to, even Rav agrees that the Malva can seize it. There's a very important Rashi and how Rashi explains it. The Rashi here, and then the Rashi continues on Amud Aleph with the distinction to two types of Hegdish. And Rashi is very, very earth-shattering in terms of how he read the Gemara. And that's what the Ksos deals with in Kuf Yud Zayin that I gave you as well. So that, and then the Rashi Bamitsia, see if you can make a notice the contrast between the two Rashis, Rashi and Erechin as well. The second section would be maybe Kedada look at. We'll probably come back to some of the points in the beginning, but that's probably what we should look at next. Is that Rashi that talks about Kuliyama lo pligi. Think about that Rashi. Okay, that's a very important mahalach in the sugya that Rashi is presenting about what shibud really means. Okay, that's where we have a work cut out for us. Okay, Shkach, those of you don't have to.